Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And listen, if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. In fact, if He isn't yours, He came to me. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Hey, can I tell you something? I know what I'm going to tell you from experience. You know it's better to be saved than it is to be lost. It's better, friend, to know that when you die, you depart this world into an eternity that awaits us all, that heaven's our destiny rather than a place prepared for the devil and his angels. We refer to it as hell. Do you know it's better, friend, to live with Christ as Savior than to worry about facing Him as our judge? Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, it's better having Christ in your life. Boy, that would preach, wouldn't it? That'd be a good text. Well, I'm glad you've tuned in. Debbie and I are excited about the program, excited about this venue God has given us, this opportunity that we have together around the Word of God with you, just with you. How special that is. How humbling it is for us, how honoring it is for us. And listen, how wonderful it is to be able to share in the Word of God with you. And I trust that our time together will be a blessing. I pray that you'll feel like that it is an investment for eternity. I do. Look, I take this calling God's given me serious. I want to tell you something, folks. We're living in some pretty serious times, are we not? The Word of God calls them perilous, actually. Look, I believe we're in the home stretch of this thing. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that we're living in the last days of the last days. So if I were you, I'd get my heart and my life right with Christ. I really would, folks. Look, this is no time to slow down. We're in the home stretch. We ought to run through the finish line. Not to it, but through it. We ought to give it all we've got. Look, I've opened my Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 5. The book of Romans, chapter 5. And for you Bible readers, it's familiar. You know at least part of what it is, what it contains. We're going to be looking at the first two verses, the Lord willing, of Romans chapter 5. Right after Debbie does this song entitled, "Heaven Awaits." Hey, look, it does, and she'll tell you, for those whose trust is in the Lord. You can put yours there today. He's waiting, He's calling, He's willing. The Bible tells us if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So go to Him today, and then
one day my labor down here will be all. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be sailing across that foamy sea where heaven waits me. Heaven awaits those
friend, listen, let me ask the obvious question. What awaits you when this life is over? One of these days is going to be, it's going to be done quicker than what any of us think. It's going to come to its end for us, friend. Look, our eternity will start. Our eternity will start. And I beg of you, I implore you, I beseech you, all of those words. Make sure, friend, make sure you make proper preparations for eternity. Debbie, thank you for that song, beautifully done, beautiful woman that did it. The book of Romans chapter 1 says this, therefore being justified, now watch this, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a mouthful, is it not? Man, listen, that can preach and preach and preach. But I want to talk to you today for just a little while, the good Lord willing, I want to talk to you about the benefits of justification. The benefits of justification. What a great book this book of Romans is. My, it's a marvelous book. Now, if I were to be asked what the main theme of the book of Romans is, I would have to say, and I believe it to be rightly so, justification. And I'll tell you, righteousness, the righteousness of God. And look, within that righteousness of God, friend, there is another theme and that manifests itself in the book of Romans, and that's what I'm going to be dealing with to a certain degree today, and it is justification. In fact, if you look at the first three or four chapters that precedes chapter 5 here in the book of Romans, we find some very, very interesting things. I mean, in the first three chapters, God brings the world into the court of heaven, brings the world before Him. I mean, He brings in before Him the heathen, the hypocrite, and the Hebrew in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And Lord, you know what He declares? He declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, isn't that amazing? No, not one. I mean, after all, the book of Isaiah, that great prophet of old, said this about the righteousnesses of man. He said those righteousnesses of man are as filthy rags, and he's talking about in the sight of God. Do you know something? Men, even sinful men, do righteous things, do right things one to another, to their neighbors, their families, their friends. But I'm going to tell you, all the righteous works that we could do would never meet the standard of righteousness that God demands so that we can be just with God. So therefore, by the grace of God, through faith, you and I, as Abraham is illustrated and set forth before us in chapter 4 of the book of Romans, we can be justified in the sight of God. All the benefits, you know what benefits are important in this world, are they not? I mean, to tell you, listen, for anybody that labors, anybody that's employed, there's somebody, one of the things that they want to know if they seek employment, well, what are your benefits? What's your benefit package for me? And I don't have a problem, friend, with mankind sharing in the profits of those that have a business at all the same time. I'm a capitalist all the way. I'm glad men are willing to invest their time, their talent, their money to provide me of a place of employment. So what kind of benefits could I provide for my employer? It works so benefits are good. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. You said, but it was a benefit, preacher. Well, I believe it could be defined as advantages or the results of something. How wonderful that it is. Hey, can I tell you, friend, listen, this isn't the only place in the Word of God that we find the benefits of justification, that we find, listen, the benefits of being saved, that knowing our sins are under the blood, that we've been sealed with the Spirit, that are named in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we've been made a new creature in Christ, that we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of light. I'm telling you, it's not the only place, but it's a good place. And here we find several benefits of our salvation, of our justification here in Christ Jesus in verses 1 and 2 of the book of Romans, chapter 5. Oh, look, what a wonderful thing that it is. What a great book this book of Romans is. And we've learned again in chapter 4 that this man by the name of Abraham was the father of all of those who believe. You know how he was justified? It wasn't by works. It wasn't by the works that he did, but it was the faith that he deposited in God Almighty. I'm that Almighty God, that one true God, that God that is, was, that always shall be. I'm telling you, that God that exists and none other do. I'm telling you, talking about how the Almighty God, the eternal God. He's talking about Elohim, Elyon, El Olam. I'm telling you, friend, listen, Abraham was justified in the sight of God when he believed. And sir, ma'am, listen, you can be the same way. You can be justified. You say, preacher, what does it mean to be justified? Well, look what he said. He said, therefore, being justified by faith. The only way you can be justified, friend, is by faith. That's the means. That's the way that we become justified, just like Abraham was. He wasn't justified because he put his son Isaac on the altar at Mount Moriah. No, no, friend. Listen, he did that because he was justified. He wasn't justified when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, like God called him to, headed him in, have that land of promise. No, no, but because he believed, he lit out and headed toward that land that God said, I'll give to you and to your seed for an inheritance forever. Hey, listen, I could go on and on about that. And you know what? We're justified today. Those of us who have listened to the story of Jesus, listened to the fact that God Himself became man, entered into the stream of humanity through a virgin's womb, lived among us sinless for 33 and a half years, died for us substitutionally on an old rugged cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third and appointed morning came out from among the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and the Word of God says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, we're saved by faith in the work of Christ, the finished work of Christ that He did when He died in our stead, when He satisfied God's claim, when He upheld God's holiness, when He satisfied God's righteousness. Look, friend, we become justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, I mean the means is by faith. And you say, what does it mean to be justified? Well, look, here's a definition of justification. That is classic, just as if I had not sinned. But I'll tell you, it goes deeper than that. I believe when you begin to thrash justification out, you'll find that it's something like this. And I hope I get it right. I've not looked. I've got it written down somewhere. I worked on this definition for years. But it is a judicial act by God, whereby, in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, He is able to declare righteous those sinners that put their trust in Christ, although they continue in an imperfect or a sinful state. I'm telling you, friend, listen, I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved for the glory of God. And hey, in the sight of God, I've been declared righteous. I've not been made righteous, but I've been declared righteous. And in the sight of God, I'm just as perfect as Christ. In the sight of God, I am like Christ because I'm in Him and He's in me. Boy, you talking about shouting ground. I'll tell you what, listen, friend, that'd even make an old Baptist get happy. Hey, friend, I'm justified. I'm justified by faith in Christ Jesus, the work that He did. I can't help but think of that old song. Sweet as the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Happy in glory. Someday I shall be. I have been redeemed. Listen, Jesus paid the price of my redemption. He did it through the blood that He shed. And in light of the work that He did, hallelujah, all I've got to do is put my trust in Jesus Christ. And you know what He does? God declares me justified. We'll talk a little more about that in just a little bit when we get down to look at the fact that we have a right standing with God. It's permanent. That's my position. It's unchanging. It is eternal. And I'll tell you, friend, listen, we'll find that these things that I'm talking about today, when we get down to the end of the message, are reasons to rejoice. Glory. Hallelujah. But thank God there's something better to come. Now look, I want you to know, and then the first benefit of salvation that Paul mentions here in the book of Romans chapter 5 is that we are justified by faith. I mean to tell you, look at what he says. He said we have peace with God. Now I want you to notice two words here that we find in verse 1 and in verse 2. And they are the words we have. We have peace with God. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Can I tell you this? You know what that means? That means we are now presently in a present possession of these things. We don't have to wait till we die. We don't have to wait till, listen, the check goes through. You ever deposit a check? Have to wait 2 days or whatever the case may be before you could write your check or withdraw something out of your bank account? Well, hey, listen, can I tell you that immediately, friend, when a sinner goes to God under conviction, broken spirit, broken and contrite in heart, and says, God, I'm a sinner. I ask you for Christ's sake to save me. I'm coming to you by faith. The only way I know how, I'm repenting of my sin. And the best I know how, I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. And you know what God will do? God will justify you immediately. God will declare you righteous. God will give you a perfect standing before Him, an august and a holy God that is immutable, eternal, righteous and holy, one before whom we must give an account of our life. I'll tell you, listen, we have. Isn't that amazing? Thank God, listen, we can throw our shoulders back, lift our head up to heaven, open our mouth and express praise from our heart and call glory to God, to the one that is, always shall be, and was. But look, he goes on to say, therefore, being justified with God, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, there's so much in that. We have peace. Thank God. Listen, I don't know about you, those of us that are saved, but I remember when my heart didn't have peace. I remember every time I'd think about eternity, it'd put the fear of God in me. I mean to tell you, it'd get a lump in my throat. My stomach would change places with my heart. I mean to tell you, there'd be something stirred deep within me. I mean to tell you, there'd be a dread that would appear. There'd be a worry and a concern because I knew I wasn't right with God. I knew if I would die without asking Christ to save me, I'd end up in a devil's hell. I knew, friend, that I needed a Savior. Hey, I want you to know something. I didn't have peace with God. In fact, I had enmity toward God, not God toward me, but I had enmity before God. You see, my father Adam had turned his back on God in the beginning. God didn't turn away. I needed to be reconciled. You need to be reconciled. And thank God through the work that Christ did at Calvary, we can be turned back to God. Listen now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I want you to know something. Listen, the war's over. He's my friend. I'm his son. I'm in his family. I've been born into his family. And listen, he gave me the position because of that word adoption into the position of a full-grown son. I've not only got peace with God, I've got the peace from God. He's the source of it. And I've got the peace of God. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace of God. Hey, I could sing right now a few verses of "It Is Well With My Soul," but I got to move on. Hey, what are the benefits of justification justification? Hey, I want you to know, friend, I'm their peace, and the means of that peace comes by the work of Christ. What He accomplished at Calvary. Calvary in my behalf, not in my behalf. But He said, look, not only that, but He said, because of what Jesus did, by whom, that's the means, we have access by faith into this grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the grace of God. Don't understand as much as about it as I'd like to know. I want you to know this. The grace of God is amazing. Like the songwriter said, the Word of God says, it is abundant. And I'm here to tell you today, sinner friend, it's available for you. We're living in the day of grace, the age of grace. I mean to tell you, listen, God's got all you need because He is the God of grace. Paul said this to believers, and I believe to others too, that God's grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9, I believe it is. And look, friend, look. You need it. Bless God to be saved. You need it to live. You need it to serve God. You need it to die by. You need it, friend, today. And it's free. It's available. God has given it. God's got a storehouse of it. And though He has drawn from it time and time again, I want you to know when He reaches back to give more grace and just simply cast it on us, provide it for us, give it to us, it's as if that His grace is not diminished one iota. But He goes on to say, oh, I wish I had more time. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You know what access is? It's ability to enter. Hey, I tell you what, as a believer, I can go boldly to the throne of grace. I can come to God my Father. I want you to know, don't have to worry about, like Esther did, whether or not the scepter of Artaxerxes was extended out to me. Hey, in the throne room of heaven, my Father sits, and I'm one of His children, and He's always glad to see His child come boldly in. But all I got to go. Not only do I have access into this grace wherein we stand, I want you to know, friend, listen, I'm going to rejoice in the hope. I'm going to rejoice in the hope. Look, you know what? We have a standing. One of the benefits of justification is our standing. Now look, there's a lot of people who misunderstand standing and state. I want you to know something. Our standing is what we have positionally before Christ because we are in Christ. I want you to know the Word of God teaches the difference between our standing and our state. Can I tell you this simply? Our state is permanent. Our state, listen, friend, is immutable. Our state is guaranteed by the work of God in light of the work that Christ did at a place called Calvary, an empty tomb that He left. Hey, I want you to know that our state, bless God, is permanent. It's witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. Thank God there's not a doubt about it. Our state, listen, our standing is perfect. Our state is imperfect. I mean, it fluctuates. I mean, it goes from good to bad, from bad to good. I want you to know that it's constantly changing. And a lot of times, people get our standing before God and our state as a believer, bless God, mixed up. Our state can be illustrated, I think, with an old spiritual that we used to hear sung. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, but still my soul is heaven bound. Swing low, sweet chariot, come on for to carry me home. I want you to know something, friend. That old spiritual is filled with a great point of theology. I'm telling you, doctrinally, it's as sound as anything that you'd want to hear. Hey, can I ask you something? How's your standing before God? Are you in Christ? If you are, you're accepted in the Beloved. And oh, you can work to be accepted of Him. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference in being accepted in the Beloved and accepted of Him. Paul said, I'm going to labor. I'm going to labor in order to be accepted of Him. How about, let me go on. And he said, now listen, one of the great benefits of justification is not only the peace that we have with God, the access we have to God, the standing we have before God, but the joy that we have because of all of that. I'm telling you, it's because of all the above. He said we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, let me tell you something, friend. It's not only, listen, it is a present thing that we have. It is a present blessing that we have. But I'll tell you what, it points to another one, a future one. It points to the second coming of Christ. Paul told us in the letter that he wrote to Timothy, that young pastor, he said, we're looking for that glorious, that blessed hope. That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friend, listen, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice, friend, today because my justification, because God has declared me righteous, because I put my trust and my faith in Christ. Have you? If you haven't, run to Him. Go to Him. Bow before Him. Hey, repent of your sin. By faith, receive Him. And He'll change you for eternity. Thanks for tuning in.
You are the next Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.